Good morning. My name is Julie, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Uni-Select Inc. First Quarter Results Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Louis Junot, Chief Legal Officer and Corporate Secretary, you may begin your conference. Bonjour, je m'appelle Julie et c'est moi qui serai votre opératrice aujourd'hui. J'aimerais maintenant vous souhaiter bienvenue à la conférence des résultats du premier trimestre de Uni-Select Inc. Toutes les lignes sont en mode d'écoute seulement afin d'éviter tout bruit inutile. Suite aux commentaires des présentateurs, il y aura une session de questions et réponses. À ce moment, si vous voulez poser une question, vous n'avez qu'à appuyer sur l'étoile suivie du 1 sur votre clavier téléphonique. Pour retirer votre question, vous n'avez qu'à appuyer sur le dièse. Merci. Monsieur Louis Junot, chef de la direction des affaires juridiques et secrétaire, vous pouvez débuter votre conférence.
Merci, Julie. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Uni-Select's first quarter conference call. Presenting this morning are André Courville, former interim president and Chief Executive Officer, and Éric Bussières, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. Following their comments, we will open the call for questions. Joining us today for questions are Brent Windom, the newly appointed President and CEO of Uni-Select, and President and COO of the Canadian Automotive Group. Chris Adam, President and CEO of FinishMaster USA, and Neil Croxon, President and CEO of the Parts Alliance UK. Please note that all documents referred to in today's conference call, including this webcast presentation, can be found on our website at uniselect.com in the Investors section. As noted on slide two, I would like to remind you about the caution regarding forward-looking statements, which is applied to our presentation and comments. All amounts are expressed in U.S. dollars, except as otherwise specified. Before we begin, I would like to highlight that on January 1st, 2019, the corporation applied for the first time IFRS 16 lease using the modified retrospective transition approach and did not restate comparative amounts of the year prior to its adoptions as permitted. As a result, the 2019 interim condensed consolidated financial statements present significant variances when compared to 2018. Please refer to the adoption of IFRS 16 section of the MD&A for further details. With that, let me turn the call over to André.
Merci, Louis. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. First, I would like to congratulate Brent for his nomination as President and CEO of Uni-Select. He has a profound understanding of the industry, and his skill set is perfectly aligned with what the organization requires at this time. We are delighted to have him on board to guide the corporation in the future. I would also like to congratulate Eric for his promotion to Executive Vice President and CFO, and Louis for his promotion to Chief Legal and Administration Officer and Corporate Secretary. That said, let me start by providing an overview of the first quarter results on page four. We continue to face challenges in the first quarter from ongoing margin pressures at FinishMaster and from the uncertainty created by Brexit on the Parts Alliance business. This was only partially offset by the solid performance of the Canadian Automotive Group and from the benefits of the Performance Improvement Plan. Our revenues for the quarter were impacted by the foreign exchange conversion to U.S. by 3%. However, our consolidated organic sales growth was 2.5%. Adjusted net earnings stood at $5 million, or 12 cents per share, down versus $12 million, or 29 cents per share last year. Eric will provide further details about the first quarter results and financial position in a few minutes. Please turn to page five on the update of the performance improvement plan. Recall that in January, building on the work of the 25-20 plan, we initiated an in-depth review of U.S. operations with the objective of identifying specific performance improvement and right-sizing actions to address the changing market conditions and to position the FinishMaster U.S. segment for the future. The plan is expected to generate additional annualized savings of $10 million by the end of 2019 and focuses on four streams: consolidation of company-owned stores, optimization, margin recovery, and spending reductions. The 25-20 plan and the FinishMaster U.S. segment right-sizing plan combined together are now referred to as the Performance Improvement Plan. The combined Performance Improvement Plan is now expected to generate a total of $35 million in annualized cost saving by the end of 2020, of which $21.4 million has been realized as of March 31, 2019. This reflects hard work from our whole team, and I wish to congratulate them on that. On page 6, we have identified the FinishMaster expected annualized savings over the next quarters. As you can observe, the bulk of the savings are expected in the latter part of the year. Now turning to page 7. In September 2018, the board announced the formation of a special committee of independent members of the board to oversee a review of strategic alternatives. As we indicated at the outset of this process, we have not determined a definitive schedule. However, we continue to work diligently on this front. Given the nature of the process, the corporation does not intend to provide further updates until such time as the board approves a definitive transaction or strategic alternative, or otherwise determines that further disclosure is appropriate. There are no guarantees that the review of strategic alternative will result in a transaction, or if a transaction is undertaken, as to its terms of timing. On that note, I'd like to turn the call over to Eric for the review of the first quarter results.
Thank you, André. Bonjour and good morning, everyone. Please turn to page 9. Before I comment on the result, I would like to remind you about the impact of seasonality on Uniselect results. As you can see, the first quarter is generally a soft quarter for FinishMaster and the Canadian Automotive Group, while it is a strong quarter for TPA. However, this year, TPA had a softer quarter than normal, which I will explain in a few minutes. Furthermore, with the adoption of IFRS 16 on leases, the geography of certain items on the statement of earnings are impacted. Under the new standard, most leases are no longer treated as operating leases, resulting into a higher EBITDA, while increasing the finance cost for the interest expense on lease liability and a higher depreciation linked to the right to use those assets. It is for those reasons that we consider the earnings before tax as the preferable comparative measure to explain our results and performance. If IFRS 16 had a negative impact of leases, then 20 basis points on the earnings before taxes. Accordingly, we caution you that it becomes difficult to compare our 2019 adjusted EBITDA to last year. We have, however, provided a pro forma adjusted EBITDA on page 11 to help you understand the year-over-year results. Let me begin with our consolidated first quarter results on page 10. Consolidated sales of $420 million for the current quarter included a foreign currency conversion impact amounting to $12.6 million, or 3% compared to the same quarter last year. Consolidated organic growth for the quarter was $10.5 million, or 2.5%. The Canadian Automotive Group and the FinishMaster U.S. segment generated organic growth of 4.9% and 3.1% respectively, while the Parts Alliance U.K. segment had a softer quarter and reported a negative organic growth of 1%. Adjusted earnings before tax stood at $7.1 million, or a margin of 1.7%. This lower margin than last year is mainly explained by the ongoing pricing pressure and evolving customer mix at FinishMaster, reduced sales from volume at TPA, and the opening of Greenfield. It was partly compensated by a strong performance in our Canadian operations. In the quarter, we took $7.1 million in special charges, of which $6.5 million is related to the restructuring and other charges mostly at FinishMaster, in the context of our performance improvement plan. Of the $6.5 million, $3.8 million were cash costs. Finally, in terms of our network, we acquired one store, integrated four stores, and opened three greenfields. Please turn to page 11. As you can see, on a pro forma basis, the adjusted EBITDA pre-IFRS in the first quarter of 2019 would have stood at approximately $21.6 million, down 22% as compared to the $27.6 million last year, for the same reason mentioned before. Let me go through each business segment in more details. Please turn to page 12 for FinishMaster. Revenue increased to $205 million, up 1.6% from last year, driven by organic growth of 3.1%, partly offset by the lower number of billing days. We are encouraged by the top-line performance at FinishMaster, as it is the fourth consecutive quarter of positive organic growth. These results are due to the sales team effort on driving growth by developing business volume and onboarding new customers, namely MSOs and large national accounts. In fact, we experienced this growth despite client collision claims being down about 1% year over year. As expected, the adjusted earnings before tax margin continued to be under pressure. In line with our expectation, the earnings before tax stood at 4.4% as compared to 7.7% last year, mainly impacted by a higher portion of national account customer coupled with pricing pressure in various refinish activities. It should be noted that the impact of IFRS 16 on FinishMaster earnings before tax was almost nil, and that approximately 140 basis points of lease expense were shifted from operating expense to interest and amortization expense. These elements were partly compensated by an improved absorption of fixed costs in relation to organic growth and by realized cost savings from the performance improvement plan. Consequently, as mentioned last quarter, we are in the process of adjusting our cost-to-serve model to this new reality. We successfully started to implement the $10 million right-sizing plan in the quarter with the integration of three stores. The integration process of stores to our customer is mostly seamless, and we expect a marginal impact on our revenue from those activities. For the balance of the year, we focus on implementing the right-sizing plan with the bulk of the $10 million in annualized savings expected in the later part of the year, as explained by Andre earlier. Turning now to Canada on page 13. Our first quarter sales were up 2.2% to $113.1 million, primarily driven by organic growth of 4.9%, acquisitions, and partly offset by FX. It is important to note that a portion of our organic growth is partly due to the timing in sales of paint, body, and equipment, and the benefit from recently signed long-term agreement with customers. Brent and his team have been working on several initiatives to increase members' loyalty, and we are starting to see the benefits. In the quarter, we continue to execute the performance improvement plan. We merged the distribution center of Saskatoon and Calgary into a larger one in Calgary. This will permit a broader selection of inventory while optimizing the supply chain process. We also opened a bumper-to-bumper superstore in Montreal metropolitan area, and integrated one company-owned store, improving the logistical and servicing process. This led to realized annualized savings of $1.7 million in the first quarter. As indicated before, when we are consolidating, in most cases, we're not losing volume, but reducing our cost-to-serve model, providing better service to our customer, and ultimately improving our margins. Our adjusted earnings before tax stood at $3.5 million, or 3.1% of sales, up from $200,000 or 0.2% of sales last year. This significant increase was driven by the timing of certain rebates, improved performance by the network of company-owned stores, the benefit of the performance improvement plan, and FX. The negative impact of IFRS 16 on Canada's earnings before tax was approximately 20 basis points, and approximately 160 basis points of lease expense were shifted from operating expense to interest and depreciation expense. In addition, in the quarter, we started the integration of our latest acquisition, AutoChoice Parts and Paint. The integration process is well on its way and on track. Furthermore, we continue to roll out the bumper-to-bumper and to deploy our point-of-sale system, PartWatch. As we mentioned on our last call, some of our customers that are served by our stores located in the oil patch out west experienced some challenges, and we expect this softness to continue for the time being. Now, turning to our Parts Alliance UK segment on page 14. Our first quarter revenue were $102 million from $110 million last year. The decrease is primarily due to FX, lower sales of electrical products in relation to a mild winter, the loss of a sale contract in the fourth quarter 2018, and the uncertainty regarding Brexit. These factors were also exacerbated by a strong comparable quarter last year. In the first quarter, TPA executed its performance improvement plan. It inaugurated a new national distribution center situated in the heart of the UK. This will allow for the ability to grow while improving efficiency. We also opened two greenfields, strategically expanding the footprint in the UK. Adjusted earnings before tax was down significantly from $7.3 million or 6.6% of sales last year to $2.3 million or 2.3% of sales. This decrease in profitability is primarily due to the lower sales volume originating from the market conditions, mild winter, uncertainty surrounding Brexit, as well as the adoption of IFRS 16. It is noteworthy to know that the implementation of IFRS 16 had a larger impact on TPA as compared to our other businesses segments due to the nature and the number of leases, as well as new agreements signed in the recent past. The impact of IFRS 16 on TPA earnings before tax was approximately 50 basis points, and approximately 200 basis points of leases expense were shifted from operating expense to interest and amortization expense. Furthermore, investment in the future and the greenfield and new national distribution center negatively impacted the margin by approximately 115 basis points. Going forward, given the current market conditions, we expect the second quarter to be softer than last year. The loss of the battery sales contract mentioned last quarter is anticipated to have larger impact in the first half of the year than the second half. Furthermore, the economy remains soft and Brexit has potentially been delayed until the end of October, thus prolonging the uncertainty. We are closely monitoring market conditions and we will adapt our cost to serve as needed. For now, our focus is on various sales initiatives and also to increase our share of wallet with key customers. Our greenfield rollout plan remains currently unchanged and we anticipate a total of 5 to 7 net new stores in 2019. And we will adjust our plan depending on market conditions. Turning to page 18 for consolidated profits. For the first quarter, we incurred a net loss of $1.3 million, or 3 cents per share, versus net earnings of $10.4 million, or 25 cents per share last year. Adjusted earnings for the quarter total $5 million, or 12 cents per share, versus $12.1 million, or 29 cents per share last year. The decrease in adjusted earnings was mainly attributable to lower adjusted earnings before tax and a change in the proposed tax regulation announced on December 20th, 2018. Now, let me comment on our quarterly cash flow on page 19. In the first quarter of 2019, cash flow used for operating activities were $70 million versus $30 million last year. This variation was mainly attributable to large payment to a vendor financing program related to the purchase of inventory made in 2018, partly compensated by reduction in inventory and of corporate tax installment. We generated $19 million of free cash flow for the quarter compared to $7 million last year. This variance is explained by a lower level of income tax installment coupled with an increasing operating cash income. These factors were partly offset by higher capex, mainly due to the two DCs. I would like to highlight that today the Board of Directors declared quarterly dividends of 9.25 cents per share, payable on July 16, 2019, to shareholders of records as of June 30, 2019. Turning to page 20. As at March 31, 2019, our outstanding total net debt stood at $627 million versus $419 million 3 months earlier. This increase is a result of the adoption of IFRS 16, which effectively added $118 million to our debt, as well as the large repayment for the vendor financing payable mentioned earlier. Considering the performance of FinishMaster and TPE, as well as the one-time cash outflow of $55 million related to a change of payment terms from one of our large suppliers, we expect our debt to remain at similar level until the end of the third quarter and expect a reduction in Q4. Now, let me turn to the outlook on page 22. First, I'd like to say that our guidance remained unchanged. As mentioned last quarter, we provided guidance that did not include adoption of IFRS 16. Now, with its adoption, we expect for 2019 organic sales growth to be in the range of 1.25% to 3.25%, post-IFRS consolidated adjusted EBITDA margin to be in the range of 7.5% to 8.5%, and adjusted earnings before tax to be in the range of 2.5% to 3.5%. We also expect CapEx to be in the range of $25 to $30 million, and the tax rate to be in the range of 23% to 25%. I will now pass the call over to Brent.
Thanks, Eric. Andre, on behalf of the management team and with our deepest appreciation, we would like to thank you for your support and leadership in the last few months in your interim role. We wish you continued health and success in all your future endeavors. I'd also like to take the opportunity to say that I'm extremely excited with the opportunity to work with our leadership team in my new role to help continue to execute our plans and unlock shareholder value. Andre?
Thank you, Brent. I would like to conclude by saying we are not satisfied with our overall results, but we are taking action to bring Uni-Select back to strong and solid profitability. However, it does take time. We ask for your patience as we work diligently to make it happen. The key to our success will be the execution of our performance improvement plan. At FinishMaster and Canadian operation, we will focus on executing the performance improvement plan, while at TPA, we will focus on managing through temporary headwinds. Finally, we thank all stakeholders for their ongoing support in these challenging times. Today is my last day as a member of this great organization and great management team, and I wish to thank you all for the privilege of working with you during these past 5 years. I wish to thank the financial community, the shareholders, and my colleagues at the board for their support and friendship. I would also like to extend my heartfelt congratulations to our new president and CEO, Brent Windham. Brent has outstanding leadership capabilities, and am I delighted that the board selected him to take the reins of the organization. This concludes our presentation. We are now ready for question and answer. Operator?
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. J'aimerais maintenant vous rappeler que pour poser une question, appuyez sur l'étoile suivie du 1 sur votre clavier téléphonique. Your first question comes from the line of Elizabeth Johnson from Laurentian Bank Securities. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to go back to Canada Automotive for a few minutes here. One of the things you highlighted this quarter is the timing of sales of paint, body, and equipment. If you could give a little more information on what you mean by that and if we should expect that to reverse itself in the second quarter.
Good morning, Elizabeth. We really saw an opportunity with the change in the supply from one of our largest paint manufacturers. They're going through a system change, so we had the opportunity to take some of the sales that would normalize in Q1 and Q2. They came a little bit heavier in Q1 so that they wouldn't have a disruption in their business. So we do expect about 50% of the organic growth, which was attributed to the PB side, to sort of normalize in Q2.
Okay, so sales were effectively pulled ahead then?
Yes.
Okay. And just in terms of the switching gears here to the Parts Alliance, I know we've talked about the battery sales before, but maybe you could just run us through again what happened, what's going on with those sales and why this is continuing to be a headwind.
So we had previously had a contract to supply batteries to one particular customer. That contract was terminated in Q4 last year. Obviously, we're now comparing with a Q1 last year where we had those sales. That will continue through Q2 and Q3, and will normalize out in Q4 at the end of this year.
And Elizabeth, it's Eric. It's exacerbated also by the fact that we had a mild winter in the UK. So understanding that electrical products are a product line that strives when the weather is cold, having a mild winter in the UK did not help the equation on the overall electrical products in the UK.
Okay, so the battery sales, what we're talking about here, that's the contract that was lost at the end of last year, and then separately,
and in general,
as you say, electrical product sales were lower, and that's in part related to the milder winter, correct?
Exactly.
Okay, and just continuing on this subject here, in terms of uncertainty with respect to Brexit, the way we should be thinking about this, is that just customers deferring spending or driving less? Can you give us a sense of where you're seeing this come through and is there anything that you can do to mitigate that?
Sure. The Brexit effect is obviously over the whole economy of the UK, and that uncertainty is causing people to delay making expenditure. What we have in the UK market, however, is legislation that requires an owner of a vehicle that's over 3 years old to have it inspected once a year. There is a 12-point test that the vehicle has to pass, otherwise the vehicle is not allowed on the UK roads. And that means whilst people can defer having their vehicle serviced and maintained, there comes a point where they're forced to take action. And we see in the history of economic cycles in the UK that will come through eventually.
Okay, great. And just maybe one more follow-up here on just going back to the contract loss, the battery sales we were talking about. Should we think about that, the headwind on organic growth, at least in the 2-3% range?
Yeah, that's probably a fair range, probably towards the lower end of your range a little bit.
Okay. Okay, great. Those are all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Zachary Evershed from National Bank Financial. Your line is open.
Good morning.
Good morning, Zachary.
So the increase to your EBITDA guidance, just wanted to make sure, is that entirely attributable to IFRS 16, or were there other factors involved?
No. So I just want to make sure we're maintaining guidance under pre-IFRS. Those guidance have not changed. The adjustment to the guidance are to reflect the accounting change.
Perfect. Appreciate that. And in terms of your financial covenants, maybe you could go into a little bit more depth on how IFRS 16 affects your financial covenants, and can you speak to your comfort level on your debt ratios?
Sure. So first of all, like most companies, when you enter into a credit agreement with a group of banks, you typically have a provision that that states that in the event of an accounting change, the parties will get together and agree on the way forward. Do you preserve the same structure and the same computation that you had before the adoption of the new standard, or do you need to make the adjustment and accordingly the ratios to it? In our particular case, the decision that was taken in conjunction with the banks is to preserve the structure of the covenants and the computation as it was pre-IFRS. As it relates to the covenant structure, we have the required flexibility under our bank agreement to operate and conduct our affairs. We will be managing within the covenants ratios that we have. I'd like to remind everybody that this credit facility is a $625 million credit facility that is currently unsecured. It leaves us plenty of flexibility to work on our capital structure if required. And to your point, your question about my level of comfort, I am comfortable with the covenant structure that we have currently in place.
Excellent. Thank you. Last one for me, the $55 million cash outflow negatively impacting 2019. How much of that did we see in Q1?
A portion of it, but not that much. I will tell you that this is more a question of timing on certain purchases made to the other businesses or other manufacturers in 2018. Keep in mind also that Q1 is a soft quarter from a working capital's perspective, historically at Uniselect, and this year is no different than the other years. As you know, we have to invest on our inventory in the Canadian business just in terms of seasonality to get ready for the spring sales. The other factor this year that it is exacerbating a little bit the inventory aspect is the fact that we launched two DCs, one in Canada, one in the UK. Those DCs were stacked up with the inventory in order to service the customers. So those combined factors sort of resulted to the cash out in the on the payable side mainly.
Excellent, Colin. Thanks so much. I'll turn it over.
Thank you.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Encore une fois, si vous voulez poser une question, appuyez sur l'étoile suivie du 1 sur votre clavier téléphonique. Votre prochaine question, your next question, comes from the line of Daryl Young from TD Securities. Your line is open.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
With respect to the margins in Canada, is the majority of these incentives, is this related to the ramp-up of the new DC in Western Canada?
Not exclusively. I mean, there's an impact, obviously, with the fact that there was a incremental sales on the PBE side. So it's a combination of elements. And I would say that, you know, just normal sales were good and healthy. So that's also helped the quarter in the cane business. I don't know, Brent, if you want to add any color, but
no, I would say all business, all categories were up in Q1.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be a normal way to look at incentives, and there's not it's not a timing issue or a carryover or anything.
Well, as I said, there is a timing issue related to PBE, right? The paint and business, paint the body and equipment, because as Brent said, there was sales that were crystallized in Q1 that were pulled a little bit from Q2. So that's one element. And the DC, as you mentioned, there is some benefit to the DC, but not that much, but there is some.
Okay. And then in terms of FinishMaster, we've seen quite a bit of consolidation at the collision repair and the collision repair industry. And just curious if you guys are forecasting any impacts to margins going forward because of that.
Well, look, the consolidation is nothing new, right? I mean, it's obvious that in the last 5 years there's been significant consolidation in the paint body equipment industry in the U.S. I think that the announcement of the Caliber-Abra merger is just in a further testimony to that consolidation. As we know, we've been adjusting our cost to serve, in fact, in view of this market reality of consolidation in the industry. It's really hard for us to predict the speed in which further consolidation may or may not happen. But what we're doing on our side is to manage our business so that we can adapt our cost to serve to ensure that we have a profitable business and a sustainable business in that environment.
And can you remind us what the percentage of your business is MSOs and large MSOs as well?
Yeah, well, first, remember how we define MSOs, and I think it's very important. At FinishMaster, we define MSOs as anybody that operates three body shops or more. So in that group of category, you have a wide variety of customers, from a regional operator of five shops to a Caliber-Abra of this world, right? That's the first caller, I would say. The combined element of that portfolio is roughly 51-52% of our total sales. And then you have a mix of traditional industrial products that constitute the remainder.
Gotcha. That's it for me. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jonathan Lemaire from BMO Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Good morning. I'd like to ask Brent a question. Welcome to the CEO role. Could you comment on how you see your role as CEO of these three geographically dispersed businesses going forward?
Well, Jonathan, I would say over the next few weeks and days, I'm going to be working with the leadership team, and we'll define exactly that. I mean, clearly I'll be helping them execute the plans that they already have in place that they've been working on, and certainly looking at how we can continue to improve the shareholder value as well as the overall operating business.
And how do you think about evaluating requests for capital from each of these three divisions?
I would say that's less than 48 hours in, a little difficult for me to answer at this moment, but certainly I need to understand the needs before I ask the question. So I don't really understand that at this point, but I will in the next few days with Eric.
Okay, that's fair. I have a few questions about the segmented results. First, on the UK auto parts business, so it was mentioned that the 150 basis points of the margin decline was from this new distribution center that's ramping. Could you expand on what the company is trying to do there, when this DC opened, how long the ramp costs might continue? And I mean, at a high level, is Parts Alliance trying to move to a three-step distribution model from its two-step model?
No. So two things to clarify first. The dilution of the margin is linked to two key elements here: the greenfield and the DC opening. Okay, so those two factors combined are the impact on the margin of 151 basis points. Second element, as we mentioned before, the DC in the UK, the midpoint DC, was built for two purposes. First, it's to handle the private label, because when you receive private label products, you receive containers of, and we needed a place where we could receive and be more efficient from a private label optimization and distribution perspective. That's the primary function of that DC. The second element, in view of the Brexit uncertainty, we also on purpose increased our level of inventory to make sure that there was no supply disruption linked to the operations in the UK versus the Brexit uncertainty. And I'd like to ask Neil if he has anything that he'd like to add to that.
No, I think you put that very eloquently, Eric, in terms of the core purposes behind it. I would summarize it as saying it allows us to secure our supply synergies that have been part of our strategy. And in terms of that Brexit stock is all part of a process where we can improve service to our customers by having better availability of stock into our network.
And Jonathan, if I may apologize, I think you mentioned 151 basis point. It's 115 basis point, 115, just to make sure that we have the right number in terms of dilution.
Thank you. And when was the lease signed for this facility, and when did you start operating there?
Yes, the facility started operating in January. The lease, Neil, was signed, I guess, a couple of
In the summer last year, we spent the last quarter of 2018 preparing that site for operations, which began the first week of January.
Okay, thanks. And on that battery contract, was that, again, less than 2% of sales this quarter that was lost?
It was around 2 to 2.5%.
Okay. Switching to Canada, do we have the contribution to the Q1 margin from the favorable rebate timing this quarter?
In terms of dollars, you mean?
Dollars or percentage margin. And if not, maybe you can just comment on whether we see this as a, whether we should see this as a sustainable benefit to the business or something one time in nature.
No, I think I just want to clarify on the, you know, the main element here was the pool of sales of from Q2 on the PBE side to Q1. So this is more a timing element. Again, on a 12-month basis, it neutralized itself. So, you know, do we still expect a better Q2 than Q1? The answer is yes. That's the behavior in the Canadian business. The Q1 is always softer than the Q2, and we expect a very similar behavior this year.
There was quite a notable margin improvement in the business, and it was highlighted that the performance of the corporate stores improved. Could you just update us on where the company is with its PartsWatch implementation and the other initiatives to improve the margin in the corporate stores?
Certainly. We're pretty successful in the PartsWatch implementation. We're down to only one store left from the original store group, other than the exclusion of the acquisition of Auto Choice. So we're coming close to the end of the first phase of PartsWatch as we knew it. I would tell you that it's really not only just a system change, but we've also made significant improvements, as we mentioned in the previous quarters, with the leadership team inside the stores, the rigor in which we're managing the stores, and the way the stores are really behaving. And we continue to see that improvement over time. So.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing, Jonathan, as it relates to the margin, keep in mind we also have some benefits with the performance improvement plan that has been implemented in Canada in Q4 and Q1 this year, Q4 last year and Q1 this year, right? So as part of the margin improvement, that is certainly a sustainable structural change that we've put to the business.
And on the performance improvement plan, was there some benefit included in FinishMaster's results this quarter?
Very little, because we closed three branches towards the end of the quarter. So from a run rate perspective, it's under $500,000 in terms of run rate savings in Q1. And as you can see on page 6 of our document posted for this call, you see a schedule of the expected savings per quarter and the net benefit by the end of the Q4.
At a high level, could you comment on what might cause realized savings from the performance improvement plan to come in greater or less than the $35 million that you're targeting long term? I know there's quite a few moving parts there. But
yeah, well, look, the way I'm thinking about this, Jonathan, is I think we have a very solid plan on the right sizing with FinishMaster. The plan is very detailed. It's being operationalized as we speak. So my level of confidence is actually pretty high that we will achieve those savings and potentially more than that. As it relates to the two other businesses, the Canadian business did the harder part in Q4 and Q1 this year. There will be incremental savings over time, but probably not in the size and the magnitude that we did in Q4 and Q1. The UK, as you may recall, did some activities back in late 2017, did further integration of various corporate stores in 2018, which also helped the overall cost structure. And with the opening of the DC in the UK will lead us to have additional opportunity over time. So, you know, do I see the $35 million by the end of 2020? The answer is yes. Could it be more? Potentially. But for now, I think it's still a bit early in the sense that there's a year and three quarters to go. But as I said, the significant portion of that plan is squarely in our hands and being operated.
Okay, thanks for your comments.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. In the appreciation of Mama, I will turn the call back over to the presenters.
Thank you. We would like to thank all of you who've been listening and the ones for your questions. And we'll see you next quarter, except for me. So, have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.